good morning. We're on Tzadi Gimel Amud Beis and Ein Yaakov Mavar, also on page Tzadi Gimel. David, Dichtiv. Where do we see that David was blessed with six blessings? As we learned, Boaz hinted to Ruth that she was going to have six descendants who each would be blessed with six blessings. Because the Pasuk says in Shmuel Aleph, Perek Tet Zayin, Pasuk Yud Chet, Vayan Echad Mehanarim Vayomer, one of the lads spoke up and said, Hine Ra'iti Ben Li Yishai Beit Halachmi. Behold, I've seen a son to Yishai from Beit Lachem. Yodea Nagain, he knows how to play an instrument. V'gibor, and he is Gibor Chayil, he is a brave warrior. V'ish Milchama, a man of war. Univon Davar, an understanding person. V'ish Tawar, and he's handsome. V'Hashem Imo, and Hashem is with him. Just to get the story straight, Shmuel comes to Shaul, tells him, Hashem's fed up with you, and you're going to lose your kingdom. And Hashem tells Shmuel, go anoint the son of Yishai in Beit Lechem. Shmuel goes, anoints David. Then Shaul starts to have these bad tempers, we'll call them, and he is losing his Ruach HaKodesh. His advisors tell him he needs a good musician to perk him up and help him get back in his Ruach HaKodesh, in his good spirits. And so that's where this pasuk comes in. This is before the incident with Goliath. In fact, the Mefarshim discuss that when you read the psukim regarding Goliath, Shaul seems to not know who David is. And Mefarshim talk about that's odd because David's been sitting in front of Shaul playing the kinnor, whatever the kinnor is, the harp or whatever it is. So why does he not know him? So this is before the incident with Goliath. So the recommendation is made to get a musician. So Vayan Echad Me'Anarim. So one of the lads speaks up and says, I know just the guy. Yesterday I mentioned this Sefer David, King of Israel by Henry Bieberfeld. And he comments, so penetrating is this characterization of David that tradition has preserved the identity of the unnamed speaker. And the Pasuk just says it was one of the Na'arim, but Chazal bothered to tell us who it was. Clearly, there was substance to what he was saying. It wasn't just random words. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Rav Yehuda said, "Name of Rav, Kol haPasuk hazeh lo amaro doeg ela b'shanara." This whole pasuk was spoken by Doeg as lashon hara. Doeg was one of the great Talmidei Chachamim, the head of the Sanhedrin that time, an advisor to Shaul, and he intended this entire pasuk as lashon hara. And Doeg is one of the classic bad examples when anytime we talk about lashon hara. As we'll see shortly, he was also great Talmid Chacham, and Chazal say he was the head of the Sanhedrin. So clearly he was a great Talmid Chacham. We asked, what did he have against David? Some learn he didn't have anything against David. This is the first time he's encountering David. Obviously, he heard of him. David had a reputation, but he heard of him. So some learn that, in fact, Doeg was just a troublemaker who was now going to have some fun hurting Shaul, that he's going to use his Lashon Hara to dig the dagger into Shaul and watch Shaul twist in the wind, just for the fun of it, because that's what a Baal Lashon Hara does, just for no particular reason, sits around and says things to hurt people. So the Gemara explains the words, Yodea Nagain, he knows how to play an instrument, Yodea Lishol, he knows how to ask questions. What does playing an instrument have to do with knowing how to ask questions? One explanation brought here on the bottom of the Ein Yaakov Mavar is that in those days, if somebody wanted to ask a question to Beis Medrash, the procedure was that a person who wanted to ask a question would stand up in the Beis Medrash, would ask the question, and everybody would listen quietly. Then, before the Rosh Hashiva would answer the question, everybody would call out their answers and debate here and there. So a person's asking the question, he's like a musician. Everybody stops to listen. And then it gets noisy, everybody talking about the question. So that's, it brings that from the Binayahu, which is another sefer of the Ben Yoyada, Ben Ishchai. Ravolba, one of these four svarim from Ravolba that I bought, we have a lot of Ravolba today, he says that Gemara is telling us the proper way to ask a shaila. Sometimes people come to the rabbi with shailas, and it sounds more like a cannon or a hammer. Somebody, you know, this is my shaila, you give me this answer, you tell me I can do this or else. Not necessarily in those words, but sometimes the shaila has the tone of that. The person's looking for a specific answer and is very clear about what answer he expects from the rabbi. But a properly asked question, Ravolba says, rings like music. There's a proper tone for asking a question of the rabbi. So it's a little drush, but that's one explanation. That's in Alei Shur, Chelek Aleph, page Kuf Gimel. Elsewhere, Ravolba says, this is in Alei Shur, Chelek Bet, page Chin Sadi Dalet, he says that what music and questions have in common is that they both require an awakening of the soul. For a person to ask a good question, he has to be tuned in. He doesn't use this pun because he's writing in Hebrew, but to play good music, you also have to be, you have to be tuned up. But what he's referring to really is the neshama has to be in a certain proper state to play good music. It requires artistic awakening, and similarly, to ask a proper question, it takes a certain awakening in the soul to cause a person to ask a proper question. Gemara continues, Gibor Chayil, Shodea Lashiv. He's a Gibor Chayil, he knows how to answer questions. Answering questions is more than just knowing the information. It takes a certain skill to answer a question succinctly, to the point, in a way that gets to what the person asking the question needs, and that requires a certain gvura. Ish milchama, man of war, she'edea lisav li'tein milchamta shel Torah. He knows how to fight the war of Torah. Torah is a war, not supposed to be two people sitting politely, after you. No, after you. It's a war. And that's something interesting. I've heard this from a number of people over the years, either people who do not have a background in learning, or I've heard this in case of somebody getting married and his wife sees him learning with his chavrusa, and the person says, oh yeah, it's like, why do you hate each other? And Gemara itself says that learning Torah is like a war. Nir'im oivim zelazet, when their chavrusas are learning, they look like enemies. And after they stop learning, you see they're best friends. Because that's what proper learning is supposed to be. It's supposed to be a going after each other. One asks a question, the other destroys his question and gives his own shot, and the first one destroys the second guy's shot and gives his shot. And that's what proper Torah learning is supposed to be.
As opposed to an interpretation of something like fighting over the Yetzer Hara to learn Torah or something.
Well, it refers to Milchamta Shel Torah, the war of Torah. And Chazal elsewhere refer to the war of Torah, they're referring to the battle between the Chavrusas. We'll see the Yetzer Hara. We'll see that coming up. That is a relevant point. Unavon Davar, understanding. He understands things. Shemivin Davar Mitoch Davar. He can understand one thing from another thing. You tell him one halacha, and he can, or you tell him one piece of information, and he can infer other things from it. Ish Tawar Shemar'eh Panim B'Halacha. That literally, he shows the face of halacha. Rashi says it means he brings proofs to what he says. V'Hashem Imo, and Hashem is with him. Shalacha Kamoto B'Chol Makom. Halacha is like him in every place. Notice that what's important, the Gemara is interpreting all of these statements that Doeg made as having some relationship to learning Torah. That's what's important, and we forget sometimes. We think of David HaMelech, so we think of a poet and a musician and a shepherd and a warrior, but we forget that first and foremost he was Talmid Chacham, and he was a posek. He answered Shilas. Gemara and Brachos discusses David answering Shilas. Women come to him, and he says, unlike non-Jewish kings who never get their hands dirty and sit up on their, you know, high thrones. I'm involved with the people. I'm answering shilohs, literally getting my hands dirty. So that's who David was, and we'll talk a little bit about more about that shortly. B'chulu amarle, with each of these things that Doeg said about David, Shaul responded, Yonatan b'ni kamahu, my son Yonatan is like that. Shaul perhaps thought, some suggest, that when Shmuel told Shaul, Hashem is going to take away your crown and give it to someone better than you, Shaul at first thought it meant that Shaul would die young and his son Yonatan would take the crown. And so each of these things that he heard, Shaul kept alive his hope that it was talking about his son Yonatan. Until he said, Doeg said, Hashem is with him. Milta dividei nami lahavi be, something that was not true of Shaul himself. Then Shaul felt bad and was jealous. Regarding Shaul, it says, everywhere he turns, goes bad. With David, and regarding David, it says, everywhere he turns, he will succeed. And we pointed out last time, there's actually no such pasuk. Some farshim suggest a different pasuk. Instead, David was wise in all his ways.
So this sefer is making a quote that didn't exist?
This or? Very last line, that... is not a pasuk anywhere.
I see. Okay.
And
thank you.
So, likely a printer's mistake that crept in over the century. If you would turn to the green bookmarks that I put. This is Sanhedrin Daf Kuf Vav Amud Beis. Gemara says, "Amar Rabbi Ami." Rabbi Ami said, "Arba Meya Baye Havu Bau Doeg V'Achitofel B'Migdal Porach Bavir." Doeg and Achitofel. Achitofel was a person who shows up later in David HaMelech's life, and also a great Talmud Chacham, but not greatest tzaddik, we'll say. They could ask 400 questions regarding a tower, or a migdal, could be a chest of drawers, a cabinet, floating in the air. In other words, they could construct the most incredible, we call a pilpul, a construct of learning and asking kashas and bringing proofs from here and in the most fantastic, brilliant way that actually has nothing to do with reality. There was a form of learning that was very popular at different times in history, in particular in the 14, 1500s in Europe, called pilpul, where as opposed to when we learn Gemara nowadays, we try to understand what's Rabbi so-and-so thinking and what's Rabbi so-and-so thinking and, you know, what exactly is the point that they're arguing about and what would be a practical difference if we understand it this way versus this way, but all focused on practical understanding of the opinions. That's essentially how we try to learn Gemara nowadays. There are variations exactly, but that's the main idea. But in the 14 and 1500s and at other times in history too, there was something called pilpul, where the goal of learning was to simply to construct the most far-fetched, brilliant lecture that you could. Of course, if you went and asked the rabbi a practical shaila, he would give you a practical answer. But I'm talking about when people were sitting in yeshiva learning, what were they doing? Like, who can put together the more, grab a source that you would never imagine to prove whatever. And that's so that's what the Gemara is referring to here with they asked 400 questions about a migdal, a closet floating in the air. Below ifshit luchada, and they couldn't answer a single one of them. They were so brilliant. We find Gemara, I think in Eruvin, says the reason we don't paskin like Rabbi Meir. There's a machlokas Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Huda, we pass like Rabbi Huda. So machlokas Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Meir, we pass like Rabbi Yossi. Machlokas Rabbi Meir and anybody, we generally don't pass like Rabbi Meir. The reason was that he was so brilliant that he could prove that a sheretz, a rodent, is tahar. He could prove from the Torah that a sheretz is tahar, except the Torah says a sheretz is tameh. That's a form of pilpul. Amar Rava. So Gemara continues. Rava said, "Revuta lamive baye." Is it a big deal to ask questions? Bishneid Rav Yehuda kulei tanuye b'nezikin. In the days of Rav Yehuda, two generations ago, and this is in the time of the Gemara. So Rava saying, two generations ago, kulei tanuye b'nezikin. All they learned was seder nezikin. So today we have what are called the yeshivish masechtos. Most yeshivas only learn 6, 7, or 8 masechtos. They have a cycle. And that's what they learn. And they don't learn all of Shas. If you want to learn all of Shas, you do that on your own time. That's how most yeshivas are. So in the days of Rav Yehuda, that the yeshiva learned exclusively Seder Nezikin. Again, they were producing rabbis who knew practical halacha, but we're talking about what the focus of learning in the yeshiva was. The yeshiva shmasechtos were Bava Kama, Bava Vasra, Messiah, and Bava Vasra. That's what they learned. Vanan, Kamatninan, Tuva, Uksin. And we, in our generation, we even learn Uksin, which is Mishnayos in Seder Taharos, much broader scope of learning. And nevertheless, V'chiyave Mate Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda, Shleif Mesane, V'atamitra. Nevertheless, despite the fact that we are more, have a broader scope of learning than they had, when Rehuda would just take off his shoe, it would start raining. In other words, if there was a drought and they would have a fast and they would take off their shoes like mourners, as soon as he just took off one shoe, it started raining. We scream and cry and nobody listens to us. Why? Hashem desires the heart. Hashem sees the heart. In other words, what matters is not how much you know. What matters is where your heart is. So what's the big deal that Doeg and Achitofel could ask 400 questions about, that they could construct these great pilpuls? That's what Rava is saying. Turning the page, Amar Rav Sharshia. Rav Sharshia says, Doeg v'Achitofel lo havu savri shmata. Doeg and Achitofel, despite their brilliance, did not know how to explain halacha clearly. Matki flamar zutra, man dichtiv be ayeh sofer ayeh shokel ayeh sofer tmidalim v'atamar lo havi savri shmata. Says about them, where are these great people, Pasuk in Yeshaya, and you say they didn't know how to explain halacha? Ela de lo havi sakalu shmata liba de hilchata. Rather, it means that they did not merit to have halacha be like them. Once halacha was decided on, they could explain like anybody else what the halacha was, but in the debates on the Sanhedrin, their viewpoints were not the ones that were accepted. And halacha was not paskind like them. Dichtiv, so Hashem liyarav. As it says, Hashem's secret is given to those who who fear him. Again, turn to Revolba, Alei Shur, Chelek Aleph, Shar Shlishi, Perek Asiri, particular on page Reish Chavchet. He brings this Gemara, and as well as our Gemara, that Doeg said about David HaMelech, Hashem Imo, Hashem is with him, Shalacha Kamoto B'chol Makom. Malacha's like him in every place. And he explains that the Gemara is saying, a person is not measured simply by what he knows, and by his ability to give a nice Torah lecture. But ultimately, even though lo b'shamayim he, halacha is not in heaven. Hashem doesn't tell us halacha. However, the ability to get to the bottom of what is Hashem telling us here in the Torah. The Rambam sometimes says in Mishnah Torah, Nira li, seems to me, or we find expressions like libi omer, my heart tells me. Sometimes a true Talmid Chacham knows the halacha without being able to cite a source. It's call it Ruach HaKodesh, or whatever you call it, but it's not that the halacha came to him prophetically. It's that after he's developed his tools of learning Torah, Hashem gives him just a sense to be able to pull together the right sources, sometimes without even knowing what the source is, but his understanding of how Torah should be enables him to know what the Torah is, what the halacha is. Doeg and Achitofel, despite being brilliant Torah scholars, but they're lacking Yirah Shamayim, lacking fear of heaven, lacking fear of God, and therefore they did not have that gift of being able to arrive at the halacha, as opposed to David HaMelech, who the Gemara says, Pasuk says, Hashem Imo, and the Gemara says that halacha is like him in every place. Rav Olba says, Gam l'tamid chacham yesh yetzahara. A tamid chacham also has a yetzahara. In fact, yetzer gadol mechavro. The greater a person is, the greater his yetzahara is. Which means that a tamid chacham has the motive and the ability to twist halacha to serve his own purposes. Because he has a yetzahara, he has a very great yetzahara. Not, as some people mistakenly think, that the great Talmud Chacham is an angel. To the contrary. Great Talmud Chacham is someone who fights his yetzahara, which goes back to your question earlier. There is a war of Torah, besides the battle between the Chavrusas, and that's between the Talmud Chacham and his yetzahara. What is it that enables a Talmud Chacham to paskin and to say, no, this is the true halacha, and it's my yetzahara that's making me say that. It's a pure heart, which is directed to Hashem and connected to Hashem. That's what it means. Hashem imo, the Shekhinah is with him always. That is, he has constant assistance from Hashem to enable him to paskin halacha. In another place, Ma'amarei Yemei Ratzon, page Yudbeis, Rav Olba summarizes, Hashem Elokav Imo, Hashem is with him. It says, Hainu al derech shenemar al David HaMelech, regarding, similar to what it says about David HaMelech, Hashem Imo, halacha k'motav b'chol makom, Allah is with him, like him in every place. Zoi galut nara, this is immense greatness. Shari Abaye, as I mentioned, we don't typically think of David as a Talmud Chacham. That's not the image that we have of him. But let's contrast him with someone that we know is a great Talmud Chacham, Abaye, who's mentioned on nearly every single page of Shas, one of the main Amoraim. So Abaye hayalo gilui kol erev Shabbat. Gemara says that the Shechina came to Abaye every erev Shabbos. Nevertheless, whatever that means, halvai we should merit to know what that means. But the Shechina came to Abaye every erev Shabbos.
It's different than the two malachim.
Apparently so. And nevertheless, the halacha is like Abaye, only six places. Known by the abbreviation Yal Kigam, which is the abbreviation for the six subjects that the halacha, regarding which halacha is like Abaye. Every other place, halacha is like Rava, against Abaye. So imagine, you'd think, the Shechina comes to him every Friday, he's great, holy scholar, and nevertheless, halacha's like him in only six places. So the Gemara says halacha's always like David HaMelech. Imagine how great David HaMelech must have been. And we're saying that it takes some kind of revelation of the Shekhinah for a person to merit to arrive at correct halacha. So with all the revelation that Abaye had, again, not that the Shekhinah is telling him the halacha. Halacha is arrived at using the halachic process, but nevertheless, it requires a connection to God to properly paskin halacha. And with this connection that Abaye had, halacha is like him only six times in all the things he talks about. So imagine what kind of connection to God David HaMelech had if halacha is like him in every place.
Let's skip over Rava,
right?
But that's obviously the point.
Well, because Gemara specifically makes a statement about Abaye, a Shechina appearing to Abaye, so that's why he's choosing to compare Abaye and David HaMelech. David, King of Israel, quoted yesterday, so he gives us, just to end, with some practical examples of things David HaMelech was involved in that we don't immediately think of. Like I said, we know about his Tehillim and his poetry, his closeness to Hashem that you can read about in Tehillim. But what was David HaMelech actually doing as king? And he concludes, after he describes a lot of some of these things, and we'll mention some of them, it is no exaggeration to state that even if David had not composed a single psalm, he still would have been the greatest king Israel produced. You have to go through Tanakh and Chazal to see what David was. So he quotes the pasuk that our Gemara quotes, and says, the uniqueness of this combination of talents has been noted by many Bible commentators. A profuse array of qualities is here said to be united in one person. Who has heard of an accomplished musician, for this is what the Hebrew word yodea nagein literally means, who is also an experienced warrior? Does not the sensitivity of the musician preclude adeptness at the deadly craft of war? And he goes on and points out how in David HaMelech we find many qualities that seemingly would not necessarily go together, because David was a complete person who harmonized all of these seemingly conflicting attributes. And as if this incongruity were not enough, the observant courtier, referring to Doeg, adds, and prudent in matters, referring to, that's how he translates Navon Davar. Navon, the word literally means understanding. From behind the flocks, he has footnotes, he brings sources for everything he says. Don't mistake this is some modern commentary, it's a modern sefer, but he has sources for everything he says. And from behind the flocks, out of the solitude of the hills of Judea, the fame of the shepherd boy's prudence had reached the court of the king. Whatever be the exact meaning of the Hebrew term Navon Davar, inadequately rendered prudent, it is agreed that it denotes a deliberative and discerning intelligence, an advanced form of conscious and rational thinking, building on the foundations and with the tools of acquired knowledge. It does not designate the intuitive and imaginative mind of the artist, but rather one of methodical and logical reasoning. Navon Davar may be rendered as constructive thinking, the rational process that erects towering structures in accord with the laws of logic and reason. So we would expect to find a person with these competing qualities to be schizophrenic and not accomplish anything in life. And in contrary, David was so accomplished. So he says, one of David's first acts as head of all of Israel was to conquer the stronghold of the Yebusim in the midst of Israel, what we call today Yerushalayim. It was first conquered by David, then he brought the Aron there. He says, settlement of the tribes of Israel and their allotted territories had been a complicated and protracted procedure that began under Moshe Rabbeinu. Now David settled a controversial issue that contained the seeds of bitter intertribal rivalry. There were cities within the territory of Judah occupied by members of the tribe of Shimon. Thus the prophecy of Yaakov that Shimon and Levi would be divided and dispersed was fulfilled. Now David made Shimon give up these city enclaves and resettle in its own tribal territory. Next, turning to establishing security from external foes in a number of successful campaigns against the Plishtim and Moab and Aram and Syria, they were subdued and forced to render tribute. As soon as this was achieved, David dedicated himself to organizing the state. As in many other fields in the province of civic administration too, David established standards for centuries to come, perhaps for the duration of the Jewish state. Some of his legal principles and precedents are mentioned in the biblical text. Others are preserved by tradition. David records the text at this stage reigned over all Israel and executed justice and charity unto all his people. So he gives some examples. For example, the rule that in any army, there are people who go to war and there are people who handle the logistics behind the front. And you might think that the people who go to war are the ones who should get the booty. David made a takana that, no, the people who handle the logistics behind the scenes also get to share in the booty. An example of the justice and tzedakah that David brought to all the people. He says, justice without law enforcement is meaningless. There must be an agency for the administration and execution of judicial decisions. The Torah provides for the attachment of such enforcement officials to all regional courts. Practical implementation of this institution of Shotrim is found in the administrative apparatus David set up in Israel. Judges and police officers were 6,000, the text reports. They were all drawn from the tribe of Levi. All organization is based on facts and figures. Therefore, David decided to take a census. So some of the things that David did using these characteristics that the Pasuk describes. Have a good day.